Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. I hope you're having a wonderful day. You're listening to or watching the Service Business Mastery Podcast. I'm live here with, I'm in person here with Billy Stevens of Sarah. We're at Service World Expo 2022, and this we're in Tampa. And what month are we in? October?
I believe it's October. Yeah, it's, I can't tell you the
day,
though.
We're just like running and gunning every, yeah, same here.
I don't have
here.
Any idea what day it is.
But you're gonna see this and hear this episode. It's gonna be next year. I mean, but I it's something that I find of huge value, and I think that, well, actually, I don't think. I know that our audience values hearing experiences that other contractors have gone through. And one of the great things about Billy is, Billy's not just this web developer that wants to build some software.
No.
You've experienced things, and you've had businesses, and you've been there. So you know the pain points that we all deal with.
I do, I've experienced them all. I mean, I was a small shop. You know, we all start somewhere.
Yeah.
And
how did you start? Let's get your origin story, because it's a really cool story for those who don't know.
Yeah, so I was working for a home builder. My wife and I had our jobs, and we had finally got some starts, you know, to do some construction on some new houses, and called my plumber, and he told me it'd be 3 weeks before they could come out, you know, and I was very disappointed with that. And and just recently before that, the owner of that company had passed away, so I thought it was more or less they lost their organization. They didn't have the, without the leader of the company, they were just kind of falling to the, you know, the downside, if you will. So I said, fine, guys, you know, I'll find someone else. 2 weeks went by, and I got one plumber to look at my blueprints. One, so I went back there with my tail between my legs and basically apologized for firing them.
Yeah.
And asked them if they could go ahead and come on out next week, like they gave me that schedule, because 2 weeks had gone by, and they go, no, it's 3 weeks from the day. We took you off of the schedule.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I'm like, wow, tell me what's going on around here. Is it because you lack of manpower, or you got lots of business? He goes, we got more work than we could ever imagine.
Really?
And I said, well, how's it going now that the owners passed away and they're not so good? It's, you know, we're having a lot of difficulties, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, you think the owner would be interested in selling it to me, the widow?
Yeah.
He goes, well, all you can do is ask. I said, well, would you work for me if I owned the company?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, I'd work for you.
Yeah.
You got a relationship.
Oh, that's cool.
And long story short, I ended up getting the business. I borrowed $10,000 from my father-in-law. And the lady was nice enough to finance a good portion of the other part of it.
Yeah.
And then I got a bank loan as well with my father-in-law's signature. Mine meant nothing.
We've been there.
Yeah. So thankfully, you know. So anyway, we opened up a Monday morning, I believe. And I was there at 6:30, and I had the whole company there. And we decided to tell them that I was the new owner, and as I'm telling
How'd them
I'm the new owner, half of them start walking out.
Well, good job.
Yeah, so one of the guys knew that this was coming, so he went ahead and corralled a couple of the builders for himself and started his own company.
Oh, great.
So I lost half the people and half the business.
Dang.
But I, you know what, instead of panicking, I got home that night, and I told my wife, I said, you know what, we just have half as much to worry about right now. So...
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
Honestly, didn't know what
we
were
doing.
And so we just both dived into it and got going. And we were able to pay my father-in-law back in 3 weeks.
Dang.
$10,000.
Okay. So you had something going good.
That's right. We started going. Well, I knew that the builders we had couldn't find a plumber. And I knew what the plumbing company was charging was not making enough money, so I decided to raise prices.
Yeah.
So that we could make some money.
Yeah.
Because I knew I wouldn't get
the demand's there.
I knew I wouldn't get fired.
Right.
Because yeah. I already tried that.
Right.
You know, and it worked. And so we started making money, paid him back in 3 weeks with $500 interest, and I was so proud to pay him back. And he goes, "Well, for whatever it's worth, I give all of my daughters $10,000 when they." When they get married and go on their own.
Oh, can I have that check back?
And so I'm like, no. In fact, what I said was, well, don't spend it. I'm giving it back to you.
Yeah.
I might need it again. So
you're just going to hold that for me.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I never asked him for the money ever again.
That's cool. I don't think we could all say that. Like, I don't think we haven't all been in that position where it's like, okay, we got out of that pickle and we're good. A lot of times it's like, okay, we get out of that pickle, let's get in another pickle.
Yeah.
And let's put ourselves back in.
What we have a tendency to do.
Yeah.
You know, and when I see these companies, a lot of the times I see the complexity that we build into them ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Like, why are you doing this, that, and the other?
And that's correct. I mean, there's just so many things that we do. And over time, we're trying to fix problems, but we don't realize we're creating three more.
We really do. And Julie and I were talking about this not too long ago, and I'm like, actually, it was right after a conversation I had with you about inventory, and you were like, I mean, inventory is important, but at your size, is it important? Is it more important than the other things? Because you're spending so much time on the inventory process that you're ignoring the sales process.
And that's correct.
So
we recently onboarded a company, 47 Techs. They had four people dealing with the inventory. The salaries, we counted up the salaries for that, was around $300,000. The inventory they were chasing was, had a shrinkage of 5%.
Yeah, I remember you told me that. You're like, how much are you losing? I was like, nothing really. How much time is it costing you to do it? It's like, a lot.
That's right. So they had a 5% shrinkage. And I go, well, how much did you pay for all your materials for a whole year? And they said $700,000. Just materials, not equipment.
Yeah.
$35,000. He had $300,000 chasing $35,000.
Dude.
We fixed that problem really quick.
Yeah.
Didn't take long at all once you saw the light. And I'm like, why don't we use these people to advance your company in 5% increments in every department, everything that you can do? Could we reduce the overhead cost by 5%? Check. Can we improve the sales ratio by 5% or the closing percentage by 5%? We just did the little 5%ers all through the company. It has a big effect.
That's very true.
Instead of trying to totally change everything at once, let's just improve what we know we need to improve.
Yeah.
And that will help you with the chaos that's in your office, right? Because already the way everything is today, there's at least 28 touches in one single service call by four different people.
Right, yeah.
That in itself is ludicrous
that's
to me.
That's wild.
And so we built that out in our software to where it's basically three touches. Instead of 28.
Mm.
And by doing this, we create
how
continuity, efficiency, things like that.
So how is the dispatching since we talked about this a year ago almost, or right around a year ago actually. Dispatching is, how does it flow so good? Like, how does that happen? Like,
so let's just talk about when we get a service call.
Yeah.
Someone answers the phone. It's a busy day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, it's summer. Your dispatcher yells out, we can't take any more calls.
Yeah.
I mean, we all experience that, right?
Oh,
we
yeah.
can't take any more calls. But we just came out of meetings, you know, earlier, maybe the day before, whatever. And in the CSR meeting, you're like, book every call. We're scoring you on what your percentage of booking rate is, right?
So then they're flashing heads.
So they're trying to book every call, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got the dispatchers. And the meeting in the dispatcher room is, I need you to dispatch all these calls before, you know, you can go home. We got to get through all these calls. And then we cleverly have a service tech meeting. Guys,
you just slow down.
Show value. Increase your average ticket, sell more stuff, right?
It's like, I'm confused.
All of a sudden we have a huge chaos. No one's on the same page, right? And that's very inefficient.
Yeah.
And we're doing the customer a very big disservice because we can't be on time to anyone at all.
Yeah, so
the answer to that is, I hear, well, that's the norm. That's what they're used to. Yeah, the norm is what I'm totally tired of.
Yeah. That is my motto in life. It is, if it's normal, I do the exact opposite. That's why I have these shoes on. And
that's a whole nother story. We probably shouldn't even go into that in this
they're
segment.
Not normal. We probably shouldn't, really. Let's skip that.
Yeah, I don't even know how to help you out.
I like these shoes.
No, I like them too.
They draw attention.
But I don't think I'd wear them.
They're comfortable. You want to try them?
No, I'm good.
So tell me, like,
you want
why?
Me to tell you how I solved that problem?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
All right, so we've been taught to, and for good reason, to get our call takers to book these calls, right? But what we're not really thinking about, and we talk about it. We talk about, you know, we want to prioritize these good calls.
We
10-year-old systems, whatever. But you got a full board, and on that board, there's probably tune-ups, or there's 5-year-old systems that needs repairs. And so we're being late and missing out on the stuff that we could actually be selling.
Right.
Because we're catering to all of the calls instead of prioritizing the important calls.
What do you say to people who have the thought that we need board clearers? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, where you just run through calls. Why?
So that the client doesn't get pissed off that we've had to reschedule them twice.
Well, make it a policy that you reschedule once and have an organized schedule.
And then that they become a top priority once they've been scheduled, rescheduled.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But prioritize your business to where you're not over inundating it.
Yeah.
This is the things that we do.
Do you say no to people?
We don't ever say no.
Whenever they call
in? We present it in a way that we do it. We present it at Sarah in a way that the customer feels like they pick the time that they're coming.
Gotcha.
Instead of us telling them when we might come.
Yeah.
And so we can defer. If it's a 5-year-old system that's having some issues, then you got a full board and there's a 12-year-old system on the other line and you can't do either one. You're going to figure out a way to do that 12-year-old system today and maybe the 5-year-old system tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to take and look at the board, which no human has the time to do.
Oh, right.
And go, we need to take this call.
Especially if you have more than 3 or 4 technicians.
Right. Yes, put it in unassigned and then slot in the better call. Well, no one wants to make that phone call.
Yeah,
hey,
that's an awkward
that delay
one there.
Call. No one wants to make it.
Especially if it's like, 30 minutes past the time we were supposed to get there to start with.
Look, so that's this, horrible. Let me explain to you how Billy Goat does it. That's our company that beta tests Sarah. So Sarah books calls on priority and it books all the calls, but it knows the value of the call. All right. And as soon as someone.
How do we put that accurate data in? Because it's, you know, garbage in, garbage out. So it needs
in,
something.
Garbage out. So it needs something. Oh, it's pretty simple if you already are a customer because all that information is there and Sarah's aware of the age of the equipment. How many times we've been there, who's been there.
Yeah.
And if we want to send the same guy back, if that customer wants the same guy, then that's easily set up in Sarah. And so through A/B testing, we found out that we had higher average sales sending the same tech back instead of trying to send a better seller back.
So let me ask you this on that. What happens when the same technician goes to the same place over and over and over again and they feel like they own that client?
So what happens is you build trust with the customer.
Okay.
Yes, you do. I mean, the customer gets to know that guy. And so now we've got that wall that has been broken down of no that we get when we're trying to sell stuff. We don't always have to sell a new piece of equipment on every job.
Right.
We prefer to become members, and then we service them, you know, throughout the year for years, right?
Yeah.
I want to make 70% gross margin on my repairs.
Yeah.
And then make my 60 margin or 55 margin on my equipment.
Yeah.
But I can routinely show you where once we get these folks members, they use us time and time again. And multiple times a year, they spend thousands of dollars. It's basically 4-to-1, the ratio of how much more money they will spend with a membership. And being organized.
And
so,
what?
And us being organized. So at Billy Go, we give $1 back for every minute we're late
to
our customers. If someone did that the way they run their service business now, they would have zero money.
Yeah, we'd be taking loans out to get money back. Right?
So in the summer, we routinely, we do about $1.4 million, $1.5 million a month for about 4 months, each month.
Yeah.
And during that time of those 4 months, we gave back less than $1,000 in late fees.
Dang.
Which is pennies.
Yeah.
Not even pennies, yeah. Fractions of pennies. And we make our customers super happy. If you look at our reviews, and we have thousands of reviews in less than 4 years, most of them are paragraphs, they're just not five stars.
Yeah, just click
the
five
first star. Thing they say, they were on time.
They surprised us.
They were on time.
And that right there can help close deals.
Close
alone.
The deals.
Yeah.
You didn't frustrate the customer waiting on you all day long. You literally
There's
were.
Nothing more frustrating than that. Like, so, put yourself right. in your client's shoe.
Exactly.
How many times you're sitting there and you're like, man, you told me you'd be here like 3 hours ago. I got a phone call, nothing. And then not even a pre-report call. This guy just shows up in the driveway.
You know, we hear, we don't have enough techs, can't find any techs. So we book more jobs than the techs that we have can do. And we end up getting poor service. We can't be there on time. Why don't we just step back, look at how many techs we got, how many they can really run calls favorably.
Yeah.
And prioritize the better calls. And schedule the other calls on your slower days of the week and the slower time slots.
So how long does it take? Because Sarah learns the technician, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How long does that take?
It doesn't take long because we input the information. So
ahead of time.
Ahead of time.
Gotcha.
And so based on our interviews with you and about your technicians, you're going to tell me, okay, what is Joe Bob? And what is his strengths? What is his capabilities? Like, what jobs can he do?
What if they all suck?
They all suck, then they all suck. I mean, it is what it is. But somebody's the best guy out of all the suckers.
Yeah. Right? He sucks the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. But it's so if you input the data, what happens if you input the data wrong? Like, you're just it's not an organized company to start with.
Sarah will immediately let you know if you do it wrong.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like,
even when we pull the data from another software, we fix it all.
Okay.
Because it's so much garbage.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, we have bots that crawl all that information, and then we expose it to the customers. We had a 47 tech company that onboarded, had 38,000 customers, I believe. And when we went in and pulled all their data out, there were about 27,000 customers.
Because the rest of them were all duplicates?
They were duplicates.
Missing data.
Missing data, wrong addresses.
Man, that's a gut punch.
All kinds of stuff. Like, for instance, for me, I have a buddy that was on one of our competitors, and he was an electrical guy, and I would have him come to my house and do some work. So every time he would do a direct mailer, I would get four of them.
Oh, so you know you're in the system four times?
I was in the system four times. I was, you know, so I was Billy Stevens with a V, Billy Stevens with a PH.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Stevens, and then my wife, Stacy Stevens.
That's
and
wild.
So we all four. So how many times was this happening?
And then, like, when you go and tell somebody, oh, this is my client list, and you're like, you're trying to evaluate how valuable your company is, and then come to realize you're actually 10,000 shy of what mm-hmm. you thought you were, and that sucks.
It sucks, but the value's there. Now you know what you're dealing with, right?
Yeah.
And so now you get good information, and now you start reacting and doing things better. It is possible, guys and girls, I promise you, it is possible to run 1 hour appointments and be on time. When you use a software that is has an algorithm that has figured out all the processes.
And it moves stuff around?
And moves stuff around, and it makes it work.
Is there a minimum amount of techs that you need for that to really work? Like, if you got two guys or three guys.
It'll work with two guys.
Yeah.
No problem. The more you add, the better.
Yeah.
We see dispatchers are able to do 15 to 30 trucks, no problem.
So a single dispatcher?
One dispatcher.
Yeah.
Can do 30 trucks, no problem.
Now, what's your thoughts on, like, call-by-call management or, like, having the technician call to debrief after every single call?
So we believe in debriefing while they're still there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? And you can do this in Sarah. The management can see. We don't have outside salesmen. We only have inside salespeople. And they never leave and never go to a job. And what they do is support each technician, their group of technicians.
And that's how you have it at Billy Go.
That's how we have it at Billy Go.
Okay, yeah.
And so we increase our call rate. We have a 49% close rate on rehash calls. Calls that we initially got denied, and then go back, follow through, in most cases, close them before he drives off.
Wow.
And then if we don't do that, we can do drip campaigns through, you know, one of the drip campaign companies. Chirp, we use Chirp. We have, you know, we have Zapier in our software, and we build the templates for the customer as well.
Yeah.
You don't have to figure it out yourself. And so we can actually do that flow for you.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, so we've automated that, so it doesn't take really any person at all to take care of it.
Because that's the thing. It's not just the person. For me, it's making sure that that person's doing it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like whenever I'm focused on, let's make sure we get reviews,
yeah,
all of a sudden, people are doing, let's do review stuff.
So,
when I'm focused on, like, let's get the job, the board filled, now all of a sudden we're reaching out and doing outbound calls. Yeah. And so
there's an audit system built in, Sarah. Every conversation that's made, every text message, every email, every reputation management sent, every email that you send to try to win a job, however you have your sequence filled up, all of that is audited on each call. You can see, and you'll know if anybody's not doing their job. If you told them to do something,
yeah,
you can go back and look at that job,
yeah,
and see the audit trail and see if that was actually done.
Yeah,
did,
yeah,
they call that customer, mm-hmm, and do whatever? You can see that.
Yeah.
And it's all situated in that job, and it keeps a running total of every conversation that has ever had in any form ever.
Yeah.
And so that's how we manage that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, we covered a lot of stuff. I mean, you and I talk so much that, but see, I don't want to miss anything that someone else doesn't know that you and I have talked about, because That's probably the downside of us talking so much, is like,
right, it becomes normal to you.
Yeah, well, I want to make sure that
we make sure the audience hears.
Yeah, I don't want them to miss something that you and I have just chatted about.
So I started BillyGo, which is our beta testing.
How long has that been?
So we started BillyGo, and it'll be 4 years old in January, actually running calls.
Okay.
5 months prior to that, I brought on an AC department manager, a plumbing department manager, an inside sales guy, 5 plumbing techs, 2 HVAC techs,
dang,
an HVAC department manager, a warehouse person, and an install crew. And we sit down in one room on a big round conference table for 5 months and talked about the pains of what we do in our business.
And then a massive overhead expense there.
I had a full-fledged company without any service calls and no intention to run service calls.
That's not scary at all.
I was doing this so I could give back.
I get it.
So what's
going to revenue going to wrap up this year?
BillyGo settled in around $11 million with a 29% EBITDA, so $3 million in profit.
Dang.
$11 million.
Can I borrow 20 bucks?
Yeah, maybe I'll give you 20. Well,
get some new shoes.
Maybe I'll talk you out of those shoes for 20 bucks.
No, that's really cool. And I don't know.
And it's just not BillyGo. So I'm just, right, want to be clear here that our clients are experiencing the same thing. And I oftentimes have, with the permission of our clients, posted their financial statements on social media. So we don't just talk about stuff and,
yeah,
that have no substance to back it up. We will actually show you anything you want to see.
My thing is, sometimes we can automate too much. Like, I am an automation junkie. Like, mm-hmm, I live and die off this Zapier stuff and, mm-hmm, Teams integrations and Slack and all this other stuff. Like, this triggers that to happen. And sometimes we can overdo the automation. And I love that everything about Sarah is simple. Like, it's just like that KISS methodology. As soon as it's complicated or too many steps, you're just like, let's just not do that.
Yeah. We work really hard on making it simple.
Seems like, okay, you're just not doing this, but it's intentional, and it takes extra effort to be that.
It's a lot harder way to build software.
Yeah.
You have to build it on the newest technology of software. You can't build it on what's basically out there today, block technology, where they just stack blocks on top of each other. And then the more they build, the more complicated it gets.
Yeah.
And then they can't reverse it because it's stacked, right? You can't
pull a block out
from under it, because, mm-hmm, then it collapses. So we build technology where we connect dots. And as we build more things into our software, it actually makes the software more sophisticated and easier to use. We want Sarah to be smart. It's AI technology. It's automated intelligence now, and it is basically thinking about how can I improve this business along with you. It's a business partner is really what Sarah is.
That's cool. That's a good way to put that. And so what I'm hearing you say is that as the technology grows and you add more stuff to it, it's just going to naturally become a stronger technology.
It's absolutely the opposite direction of what you see now in the current software offerings.
Where it becomes challenging. And
yes, so we get simpler and simpler as we go.
And in theory, like in my mind, that's what I thought everything did. Like that's what, in reality, it's not built that way, so it doesn't.
No, the softwares that are out today, and it's
just a technology whenever it was created.
Old technology versus what's new and how it makes a difference. And you can't convert that technology to this new stuff. You've got to start over.
That's what I was talking to somebody last night about it. They were talking about software companies acquiring other software companies. Well, if they weren't built at the exact same time, they can't just jumble them all together. They either have to rebuild them all or they just have to not communicate even though they own each other.
Yep.
That's wild.
It's crazy. It gets even further apart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the mindset from the very first line of code was how do we build something that it's simple to use, that helps you establish best business practices so that you can affect your financial statements in a positive way. And so by simple is a scary word for us to use because we're talking about technology.
Oh, right,
But sometimes simple may be interpreted as maybe there's just not enough there, so it's simple. But that's not the case. And I know that's what everybody's trying to say about us.
Because try minimalizing something. Live a minimalistic lifestyle and tell me how difficult that is.
That's a
challenge for sure.
And we do a really good job of, really thinking through the problems that you guys go through every day because I'm that guy. I've experienced all of those problems along my career. And I just really wanted to, share it and show people that we can actually do this. You know, here's what I hear so often. You got a guy, a company, a family-run business, and they're at $3 million. And I always ask them, what would it take to get your business making more money? Because, they're making some money. Yeah. They're doing good. Yeah. Times are good. So everybody's doing good, right? And they go, well, if we could just get to $5 million.
Yeah, if I could just get another technician.
Yeah, $5 million. And I'm like, well, what if we did this? Why don't we just stay at $3 million and fix everything that's broken and make $1 million?
Yeah, that's what I want.
Right. And then once you're making $1 million, now you have money to go to $5 million. Because what people don't understand, you will go broke growing. It's harder.
I mean, I've experienced that. Like, we're in a boom and we're like putting on trucks, putting on technicians, and all the cash is just going out the window.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You keep investing in your business, which you should be.
Right.
But where you're not investing is the infrastructure of the business to make it more profitable so that you have more money in your pocket and you have more money to reinvest in your company. That is success. And there's a term for it, it's called a gazelle. And my company was a gazelle. My first company, Berkey's Plumbing, Heating and Air, was a gazelle in the 90s and in the 2000s. And what that is, it's a term, we hear, all kinds of terms, like a unicorn, right?
Oh, right.
That's a billion-dollar valuation, all right? Well, a gazelle is actually harder.
Really?
And what it is you're growing by double digits. At the same time, you're improving your margins.
So you're not sacrificing cash flow
growing the cash flow while you're growing.
And that's
hard to do.
Yeah.
And you have to do it 4 years in a row to be considered a gazelle.
Oh, wow.
It's a very rare
thing. So this isn't just something that you just like off the cuff say, oh, I'm a gazelle. Like this is a legit measurement.
It's a legit measurement. And that is why the PE revolution, the private equity thing, got started at my business in 2011. Because PE firms saw that this company was a gazelle, and they're like, well, do all these companies make money like this? And I'm like, no. And they go, can we figure out a way to help them make money like this?
Yeah.
And I said, yes. And so we started buying companies.
Yeah. So tell me this, from what I understand.
11 years ago, by the way.
That's wild. Time flies.
It does.
From what I understand, and we only have just a few more minutes to talk about this. Actually, not even a whole minute. I've been told that memberships just aren't important. Is that true?
I built my business on memberships. All my customers on Sarah understand the value of memberships.
Okay.
We had over 25,000 air conditioners on memberships. If 8% of them fail, which is 12 years old, right, it's a factor of 12.
Yep.
If 8% of those broke down over the age of 12 years old every year, that's 2,000 systems. If I sold half of them for $10,000, that's a $10 million business without a dollar of marketing to
just
another.
Just because of memberships.
Just because of memberships. I got paid to make that $10 million.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.